Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hello, Victory. How's everybody? Everybody doing good? You having a good day? Man, I'll tell you what, if you can't get God moving in your life in that kind of worship, if that doesn't just light you up, your wood's wet. Come on, right? Wow. I just told them back there, I said, why don't you just go back out and sing for a while longer and just skip my part. We'll just worship. God is a good God. Amen? He is a very, very good God. What an honor to be in one of the great churches in America. I don't know if you know this. Sometimes in the midst of what God's doing in our lives, we take it for granted. You can get so used to how good things are here that you take it for granted. Don't do that. Don't do that. I speak at churches, different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and mainly I pastor in the Detroit area, so I'm a homebody, so I stick more there. But I see a lot of things. I think I'm on 11 church boards, just trying to help mentor some of the young leaders in building their churches. Man, when you see a church like this, it is so refreshing. It is such a good, good thing. John and Michelle are some of our very best friends. He has spoken into my life over the years. He's walked. Anybody ever have a friend that walks you off the ledge? Anybody ever have a friend like that? Come on, you're ready to jump, and he says, "Don't do it. Don't do it." He's one of those people. Actually, I was listening to some teaching on the way to service this morning, and the preacher on this thing I was listening to, he said this. He said, "Sometimes God will put the word you need to hear in the mouth of a friend." Wow. And that's exactly what he's done with John in my life. He's given John words to encourage me and to help me do what God's called me to do over the years. Don't forget, he's going to be back next week, as he said in the video just a moment ago, teaching on the authority of the believer. If you don't know the authority that you have as a believer, I'm telling you right now, you better get to know it. And not just so you can add it to your accumulation of information so that you can use it. My wife was being mugged a number of years ago. A guy came up to her in a parking lot of a department store and began to manhandle her, trying to take her purse, forcing her back into the car. And I'll tell you what, because of the authority of the believers, she turned and looked. Now, she's kind of feisty anyway. And I just bought her this purse. I was on a trip, and I brought her this beautiful purse back. And he was trying to take that purse. And I don't know if she cared all that much about anything else, but you aren't taking my purse. My husband just bought that for me. But she pointed in his face, and she said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And he let go of her arm. He backed away with his eyes all bugging out, let go of the purse. And as he began to run away, he turned and pointed at her and said, "Well, I rebuke you too." And he ran away. I'll tell you what, the name of Jesus, the authority, it works. It really does. When our youngest boy was born, he was born not breathing. He was all blue, gray. I mean, there was no sign of life. And I'll tell you what, that is a moment you better know what you believe. My wife began as she's laying there and the doctors are working on her and they take that baby and they call in these teams and they're massaging his heart and they're giving him oxygen. They're doing everything they can and there is no sign of life. 1 minute goes by, 2 minutes go by, 3 minutes go by. I'm holding on to his feet and I'm saying, "In the name of Jesus, you'll live and not die." My wife is laying on the bed. She's pointing. Listen, at a time like that, I don't care who's in the room. I don't care what they believe. I know what I believe. And she's laying in the bed saying, "In the name of Jesus, I speak life into that body. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that. In the name of Jesus." They said, "Sir, you got to let go of this baby. We got to flip him over." So I said, "I'm not letting go. I'm going to keep my hands on this baby." After about 4.5 to 5 minutes of speaking life into that baby, all of a sudden he went, he choked, And then he coughed a little more. And then he began to breathe. And you could sit and watch the pink go right into his fingers and climb right up as the oxygen began to flow. That little baby had zero defects, had no brain damage, had no other damage. He is alive today. He's on my staff as one of our pastors. Glory to God. You better get to know the authority that you have as a believer. You say, well, I tried that once. It didn't work. I've tried it before and it didn't work too, but I've tried it and it has worked. And I'm going to go with the times it did work. Amen? Come on. I don't allow defeat to define me. Amen? I don't allow defeat. I don't allow when something doesn't seem to work to define what I believe. I believe what the Word says, whether it goes well or it doesn't go well. Amen? Amen. This has nothing to do with my message, but it's good. Just to give you a little information, there's some product out on the table. I don't do this very often, but the team back home, they put it together and they make it look good. So I hope it sounds good. I don't know. But anyway, I've got a question. This is a series that my wife and I did, I think, 2 summers ago. And actually, we took questions from the congregation. They wrote them in, they emailed them, they texted us, whatever. And for 1 month on weekends, we sat on stage and just answered every question that came in. And I'll tell you what, it was very valuable. It's still one of the most favorite months ever in our church. And it answers a lot of questions that maybe you have. This series is called Now What? Wisdom for the Now What Moments in Life. Have you ever gotten to a moment in your life and you go, now what? Right? And you just, you don't know what to do. That's what this series is all about. Wisdom for the now what moments. The ABCs of financial freedom, learn about that. There's a series out there on marriage. I think some of those went last night. And if you want everything that's on the table, it's all on this it's a cute little box. But anyway, this little memory stick, this flash drive, everything on the table is on this flash drive, and you can get it all. I don't even know. I think it's $75 for everything on the table. So anyway, avail yourself to that. And listen, if you can't afford it and there's something you desperately need, you just tell them, I said, if you can't, I don't mean you don't want to afford it. I mean you can't afford it. Just tell them, all right? Because I don't want anything left when I'm leaving here, okay? So you just go ahead and avail yourself to those things. God is a good God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, let me give you a little bit of history. I'm in my 33rd year of pastoring Grace Christian Church. It is an amazing thing that God has done. I remind myself all the time that God spoke through a donkey once. Don't get too impressed with yourself, right? So God has done great things back in the Detroit area, and I'm so grateful for that. So 33 years, I'm in my 33rd year of pastoring. I'm in my 60th year of life. Now that's where you're supposed to grab your face and go, I had no idea he could be that old. Come on, right? Amen? You were all thinking, never mind. And as of today, as I stand here today, my wife and I have been married 40 years. How about that? Today is our anniversary. In fact, there's a picture up on the screen. Look at that picture. Show you a picture of my family there. There's my beautiful wife of 40 years today, and our 3 married children, and 8 grandchildren, and 1 more on the way. So praise God. God is a good God. I get a little bit tired of people coming up to me and saying, that's a beautiful grandbaby, as we're on a walk with our grandbabies. That's a beautiful grandbaby. And then they look at my wife and say, how old is your child? And I get all offended and I have to overcome my offense. And I had this little old lady at an ice cream shop. She leaned up. She goes, is that your daughter? I said, is that your seeing eye dog? No, I was nice. I was nice. I heard a long time ago the way to a successful marriage is to fall in love over and over and over and always make sure it's with the same person. Right? Amen? And I truly am. I love my wife more now than I did the day we got married. When we got married, I was 19, she was 18. We barely even knew what to do with anything in our lives. God's grace. Listen, we were 3 years into our marriage, we were going through a divorce. The divorce papers were signed. Everything was done. We were just waiting for a few things. And 8.5 months we were separated, and God restored our marriage. And 9 months later, I was on my way to Bible school to study for ministry. God can do great things when two people are committed. Two people. Somebody says, well, God didn't restore my marriage. It takes two people being committed, whatever it takes. Come on, amen. Whatever it takes, God will do it. Amen? Amen. So you gotta submit yourself to God, and God will do great things. You know, there's a story. How many of you know Winston Churchill, right? Prime Minister of Great Britain at one time. Great leader. There was a lady in Parliament. Her name was Lady Astor. That's all they knew her as, Lady Astor. Lady Astor was, she hated Winston Churchill, just despised him. And boy, they'd get into Parliament, they'd get into these debates. She treated him with great disrespect, and he wasn't all that respectful to her either. And one day she got up in Parliament and she said, Mr. Churchill, if I were married to you, I would poison your tea. With that, Winston Churchill stood up and said, Lady Astor, if I were married to you, I would drink it. Now, that's not how to, you know, have a good relationship, but anyway, I think it's funny. I think it's funny. My wife gets a little annoyed with some of my habits, my bad habits, and so she calls me and she goes, Jerry, I've had it up to here. I mean, that toilet seat thing, it goes down, right? I mean, all these years, you would think that you would learn to put the toilet seat down. Could you come in here and put the seat down? So I walk in and I say, are you sure you want me to do that? She goes, yes. So I walk in, I said, okay, Mr. Toilet Seat, you are stupid. You are dumb. You're never going to amount to anything. She did not think that was humorous. But you know, you gotta have some laughs, right? See, on my bucket list of things that, you know, I look back in my life. Listen, when you get to middle age, and I'm not there yet. I'm 59. I'm in my 60th year. I'm not at middle age. Some of you disagree with that? That's all right. You have a right to be wrong. That's fine. Listen, middle age depends where you put the other end, right? So listen, as I approach middle age, you go back and retrospect, you look at your life. There are a couple of things I look at. I wish I had taken more time for fun time. I'm trying to do that now. I'm trying to look at my life and make more fun for more time for fun time with my grandkids and with my wife. I want to take a little more time off and enjoy life because I've been so driven, and I love what I do, and I love the church, and I love working hard. But taking more time for fun time. The other thing is to laugh more. How many of you know? Come on, look at somebody around you and say, you need to laugh a little bit more. Come on, man. Some of you look like you've been pickled in vinegar, man. Oh, my Lord. You know, we do. We need to laugh more. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? You know, that a merry heart is good like what? It's good like medicine, but a broken spirit will dry the bones. You say, well, Pastor, if you knew what I was going through, I got nothing to laugh about. No, you've got something to laugh about because you can laugh at the enemy who had destruction in mind for your life. And if nothing else, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you're going to heaven someday. You ought to laugh about that and enjoy the fact that Jesus has made a difference in your life. Amen? Amen. But find things to laugh about. Find things to laugh about. If you can't laugh, get a joke book and read it. No, I'm serious. This world is coming undone. This world is crazy. Man, I watch the news. I gotta find something funny. I gotta laugh at something. Amen. So I'm just telling you, you need to find things to laugh about. It reminds me of a preacher. You know, he was one of those robed preachers, and, you know, had the God voice thing. My father-in-law is a Presbyterian pastor. He's 85 years old. He's still an associate pastor. I love the guy. He preaches a message. He does them in about 18 minutes, and that's not how today's going to go, so don't get your hopes up. But anyway, He wears the robe a lot of times, all that kind of stuff. But this preacher gets up and he's starting the service. He has everybody standing. He says, he puts out his hands, got the robe hanging, you know, it's all real formal. And he puts his God voice on. He says, oh God, he begins to pray. He says, oh God, we are but dust. Well, he got done with the prayer. Everybody sat down and the little boy on the front row next to his dad, louder than he would like his son to speak. His son, very loud, everybody in the church heard it, said, Daddy, what's butt dust? So you're all looking a lot better already. Come on. Come on, you got to smile. Well, let's stand together. I want to pray before we get into the real message for today. And I believe God's going to move in your life. Do you believe that? If you're just here to fill time, you're going to get what you came for. If you're expecting very little, you're going to get what you came for. If you came to hear from God, if you came to hear from me, you're in trouble. But if you came to hear from God, God has a word for you today. Amen? Come on, amen? Just say this. Say, God, you have a word for me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your people. The people of this church, Father God, they are so precious to you. And I want to speak into their lives something that is meaningful, something that is helpful. Help me to do just that. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Jesus, you are the King forever, Almighty God, and we reign victorious through you as you reign in our lives. Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise for all that is said, all that is done according to your will. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Listen, if you've ever said to yourself, if you've ever thought to yourself these kind of things, this has been a rough season. Maybe you've thought that. Maybe you're thinking it now. This has been a rough season. Listen, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I say that frequently. What do you call a Detroit Lion with a Super Bowl ring? A thief. Anyway, let's move on. What does the Taliban have that the Detroit Lions don't? A running game. Hallelujah. All right, we can move on. Listen, I'm from Detroit. I can say those things. But listen, maybe you're saying it's been a rough season. Or maybe you're saying, I can't wait till this season is over. Or maybe you're in the room today and there are people here that you say, this is a great season of my life. I'm enjoying this. God is doing great things. Whatever it is, I mean, you may fit into all those things. You may have all of those at some different time in your life. But I want everybody to say this one word with me. Pronounce it real carefully, if you will. But say this word, shift. Shift. Come on, now say it like you mean it. Shift. Shift. Now, what in the world does that mean? A shift is this. The definition of shift is to move or to cause to move to a different place or position. Now, let me go through some history of some things that I've been through. I won't go through as much as normally I would in talking about this. But about 10 months ago, I was driving my little sports car down the road, got the top down, enjoying the day, and I come up to a red light, and I stop, and I look at my phone, and my phone needs to be charged. So I get the charger out, I take the cigarette lighter out, put the charger in, plug my phone in, and all of a sudden the light turns green, and I go to take off. It's a manual shift. Put it in first, no problem. Second gear is not working. And oh my Lord, I mean, I began to panic because this sports car, I've since looked it up. It's about a $3,500 to $4,500 job to fix anything on this transmission. And I'm going, oh man, I don't want to spend money on this. I just don't want to do that. Oh God, show me what's wrong with my transmission. Well, I get up to the next light, light's red, and I stop and I look down, and the cigarette lighter that I normally put up in a little container up on the dashboard is in my shift boot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The little rubber shift boot. And it's that cigarette lighter is in the way. So I had been praying, God, show me what's wrong with my transmission. God, I don't want to spend money on this. I moved the cigarette lighter where it goes, and God healed my transmission. It was a miracle. In that moment, the Spirit of God, I believe, spoke to me, and he said, Jerry, what is in the way of your shift? See, there are things in our lives that we say we want to experience. There are things in our lives, the seasons we go through, we say, oh, this is such a tough season. I got to get through this season. I can't believe. And there are some shifts that you need to bring into your life that God wants to show you if you're going to get into that next season, if you're going to go where God wants you to go. You've got some things that might be in the way of your shift. Does that make sense? So you may be stuck in one gear and God wants to take you somewhere else, but you're stuck there because something's in the way and you got to get out of the way, whatever's in the way. So now fast forward several months and all of a sudden I'm reading this article and this woman had a word from the Lord for her church and she had given it in 2015 and the word was this. The word was, I am now taking my church from the waiting room into the delivery room. Now, that may make sense to some of you. I don't know about you, but I've been waiting for a long time for some things. God keeps saying, I'm doing this in your life and watch and see. And I read the word and I'm like, yes, yes, when, God, when? He's taking us from the waiting room. You got to get good in the waiting room before he can take you to the delivery room. Amen? So he's bringing the church from the waiting room, wait upon the Lord. He'll renew your strength. Wait on the Lord. Those are great things. But he's going to take us into the delivery room. Well, then she said she had a word for 2016, and I read this, and I went, wow. She said that God is taking the church into shifting seasons and suddenlies. Shifting seasons and suddenly, now you got to understand with what God has been speaking into my life and the life of our church, he's got my attention. Because this whole word, this shift thing, just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And I'm going, God, just teach me what I need to know out of this message. Shifting seasons and suddenly. How many of you love it when something suddenly just happens? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it great? Woo, suddenly. Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And the Spirit of God, how many of you know, came upon all of them and they were all filled. How many of you love those suddenlies, right? Suddenlies? You need to understand that every suddenly in the Bible is preceded by something that people were doing. Come on, right? Everybody wants a something from nothing miracle. And God can do those, but those are rare in the Bible, something from nothing. There's always a sowing into the experience that we need to be a part of. Amen? Come on, amen? I want a suddenly. Come on, God, give me a suddenly. He'll give you a suddenly, but you got to sow into your next experience. I hope that makes sense. So shifting seasons, we go back into that, and I look at Ecclesiastes 3. Well, or read along with me. I've kind of shortened it a little bit so it's not as wordy. It's up on the screen. It says this, for everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and to die, to plant and to harvest, to kill and to heal, to tear down and to build up. To cry and to laugh, to grieve and to dance, to scatter stones, to gather them, to embrace and to turn away, to search and to quit searching, to keep and to throw away, to tear and to mend, to be quiet and to speak, to love and to hate, a time of war and peace. I mean, all these things. And you say, wow, there's a time for every season, shifting seasons. Shifting seasons. You may be saying, I need a shift in the season of my career, the season of my relationships, the season, I need a better financial picture. I need a shift in the season of my financial life. There's a time and a purpose under heaven for every season that comes into our lives. And we say we want to shift. We say we want to go to that next place. We say we want to get from here to there. But there's something we need to be involved in order to get there. Come on, amen? Come on, amen? So as we get into this, remember, listen, some of these things you have nothing to do with. A time to be born. How many of you know you didn't have nothing to do with that? And a time to die. You may have some involvement in that, taking care of your body, speaking the word over your body. But listen, a time to be born, a time to die. And at the very end, it says a time of war and a time of peace. I don't personally have anything to do with the war and the peace thing. So, but everything in between, you find a time to grieve and a time to dance. You know, that's a decision. The grieving thing is a decision. It may be because of something you've been through, but it's a decision and a time to dance. Now, I was brought up Baptist, so I don't do that. I don't dance. I've tried a couple times. People say, you were brought up Baptist, weren't you? Don't do that. I saw you dance. Don't do that. Don't ever do that again. But there are decisions. There's a part that we play in a lot of what goes on in the middle. Time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to tear down and to build up. A time to scatter and to gather. So what is my part? There's three misconceptions I want to throw out real quick. There's three misconceptions. They're kind of errors that we believe. Some people believe in this life, and there are a lot of them, even the church believe this, that things just happen. They just happen. You just go through life and things just happen. You just deal with what happens. Things just happen. I have no responsibility. There's no cause and effect. I'm in this season that I'm in because things just happen. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Error number two is that if it's going to be, it's up to me. There are people in life, they believe that nothing's going to happen unless I make it happen. And at least there's an acceptance of responsibility in that. But what it does is it precludes the involvement of God in what needs to happen. It's like, it's all up to me. I got to make this happen. That's an error. And then the third one is this, and that's, it's all up to God. If it's going to be, well, God knows what I need, and when he thinks I need it, and he wants to, he'll just make it happen. It's all up to God. That's a misunderstanding of the sovereignty of God. It's a misunderstanding. It's a relinquishing of a responsibility. Let me tell you something. There is a God part and a you part to every shift that you need to go through. There is a God part and a you part to everything you say you want in life. God will not do your part, and you cannot do his part. It's a partnership. Come on, amen? We got to be doers of the word, not hearers only, amen? There's a part that you have to play. You say, I want to go here. I want to accomplish that. I need a shift in relationship. I need these kind of things. Well, there's a you part that you got to play. God will do his part. He knows his part real well, and he's really good at it. But you got to do your part. Amen? Come on, amen? So let's get into this just a little bit more. Recognizing your need to shift, remembering Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for every season. Let's go a little bit deeper. I think the first thing you need to do is recognize the season that you're in. You need to recognize the season that you're in. Some people, they just flow through life and they don't care. It's just like, I just take it a day at a time. I don't really care. You need to recognize the season that you're in. To know where you're going, sometimes you need to identify where you are. Anybody ever use the direction app on your phone? You know, you tell Siri where you want to go, and Siri tells you where to go. And then you get lost, right? Because Siri's wrong or whatever. But isn't it interesting? If you're going to use Google Maps or any of those things, you got to know where you're at for them to give you directions to where you want to go, right? So you've got to identify. You've got to identify the season that you're in. You got to be honest. Are you in a happy place? Are you content? Are you dissatisfied? Are you bored? Are you disillusioned? There are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are disillusioned and bored with their Christianity. Be honest. I've been there. I've been there. I've been mad at God before. Anybody ever get mad at God? I've been mad at God before. So, well, just don't say it. Yeah, because he doesn't know if you don't say it, right? As long as I don't say it, he won't know I'm mad. Yet, no, he knows. He knows. So I've been disillusioned. I've been upset. I've had real, real difficult seasons that I've gone through. And we probably all have. So next, after you identify the season, you pinpoint that season. If you want that shift to occur, you need to consider this next thought. There may be a reason for the season that you're in. All right? There may be a reason for it. Let me give you four of them real quick. This is just what I'm going to kind of wrap things up with. Four reasons for the season. It could be four reasons for the season that you're in. Number one, you're not ready. You say, well, I want to be in that next season. Come on, God, do this in my life. God, I want to move here. I want to do this. God, I need a friend. I need a friend. I'm in a very lonely season, and I need a friend. Maybe this is the season. You're not ready for a friend because you don't know how to be one. Did I say that out loud? You say, well, I want to get married. Maybe this is the season to learn how to be a good spouse. Come on, amen? Maybe this is the season. Maybe you're just not ready for what you say that you want. I want to be in the ministry. I want to be in missions. Well, there's a time of preparation. Maybe you're not ready for those things. The Apostle Paul took, I think it was 14 or 15 years from the time he got knocked to the ground until the time he entered into his first missionary journey. It was about 14 or 15 years. There was a time of preparation in his life. There was a time of preparation in David's life. There was a time of preparation in Jesus' life. He had to wait. He had to be ready. You may say, well, I want to be on the worship team. I like to sing. I want to be on the worship team. Look at those people up there. Look at them using their gifts. I want to be in the worship team. Maybe you're not ready because you need to learn the humility to navigate the anointing in a healthy way. I want to tell you something. When you look up and you see preachers and you see ministers and they're under the anointing, that's not them. That's the anointing of God. Come on, amen? I'm not who I am when I'm preaching. I don't live under the anointing. I live just like you do, one day at a time, right? Now, hopefully I'm living what I'm preaching, right? How many of you say amen to that? How many of you know the old, you better practice what you preach? How about preach what you practice? Oh, man, that's a good place to say amen. All right. But maybe you're not ready. You say, I want financial prosperity. I've been living in this area of lack for too long. Maybe you need to learn to be faithful with the little that you have. Come on, right? Maybe you're just not ready. So you think you're ready. Maybe you're not. See, we want Jericho experiences while being a spiritual couch potato. I don't want to march around walls. No, listen, you got to get ready for what you say that you want. Can you say amen to that? Come on, amen? Amen. Number two, maybe your timing is wrong. Maybe your timing is wrong. See, timing becomes an important thing in our lives. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this. It says, but when the right time came, listen to this. Isn't this amazing? You've got hundreds of years. You've literally got a couple thousand years, actually from the very beginning in the garden, you know, where it was spoken about a deliverer that would come. You know, they're going to bruise your heel, but you're going to bust their head. That was the first indication of a redeemer that would come. It's in Genesis chapter 3. And from that point on, it was thousands of years. Prophets are saying, he's coming. Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer. I mean, they waited and waited and waited. Galatians 4:4. And when the time, when the fullness of time, the perfect time came, he sent his son delivered of a woman. The timing had to be right. Can you say amen to that? So maybe your timing's not right. I often ask myself, God said do that, but did he say do it now? I started our church originally, got out of Bible school May of 83, moved back to Detroit, started our church in October of 1983 in our house. We had, I don't know, 15, 20 people coming. And that was good. That was a good start. 15, 20 people coming. I shut the church down 30 days later. Not because people weren't coming. It was because I had missed God. We had to apologize. We knew we had missed God. We should have stayed in Oklahoma where we were living because God was mentoring me. He had put me under a tremendous mentor. I should have stayed there. I missed his timing. I got out of his will because I missed his timing. And you know, I should have stayed in Tulsa for another year. It's interesting, I graduated from Bible school May of 83. We started our church May of 1984, 1 year after I got out of Bible school. Exactly what God had shown me. Isn't that amazing? So maybe the timing's wrong. God said do it, but did he say to do it right now? Here's something you just got to understand. Without the timing of God, you add to that your impatience. When you are impatient and you don't have the timing of God, you will come up with soulish solutions to things that really can only be solved spiritually. Go back and read the Bible about a guy named Abram and his wife named Sarai. Because for 24 years, they held in their heart, you will be the father of a multitude. And for 24 years, they kept trying. And finally, you know, you got Sarai, she's kind of upset. She goes, you know what? I think I know what God meant. Here's my servant Hagar. That must be how he's going to do it, because it ain't working with us, buddy. And I'm kind of tired of trying. Get my drift, Abram. And you know the rest of the story. If you don't have the timing of God, you come up with soulish solutions to spiritual problems, and you begin to birth Ishmaels in your life. Not a good idea. All right? So you got to make sure that the timing is right. You got to make sure that you're ready. Number three, maturity might be lacking. I know that's kind of hard to say. Listen, I can preach this back at home because this applies back at Grace. I'm sure at Victory it doesn't apply because you're all up here in the maturity thing, right? Amen? Come on, everybody say amen. Look at the person next to you and say, he's talking about you right now, your maturity. All right, amen. But maybe it's a maturity thing. Do you know what Paul said to the Corinthian church? He said this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 11, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away childish things. Childish things, attitudes. Childish things, the way we talk. You know, let me give you four measures of maturity. They all start with the word M, so it's a little easier to remember. Four measures of maturity: your mouth, your motives, your moods, and your money. When God can trust you with those things, your mouth. I mean, no, you got to make sure you got the right thing coming out of your mouth, right? Come on, right? Speak the word, right? Amen? So you got to make sure your mouth is mature. You got to make sure you're doing the right thing with your finances. It's not that we don't make enough money. We spend too much. Hello? Am I in the right room? So we've got to mature in how we handle our money. We've got to mature in the words that we say. We've got to mature. Listen, well, I'm in a bad mood. Well, get out of your bad mood. Turn to somebody next to you and say, he's talking to you now. I'm telling you right now, right? We all go through that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, right? So listen, I'm not to be governed by my mood, and the more I overcome my moods, the more mature I'm proving myself to be. So what about motives? Motives are important. That's something only God knows. Only you know, only God knows. Reminds me of a story, a very difficult breakup. This guy and lady, they were going to get married, and all of a sudden she broke up with him. She wrote him a letter, you know, after a while, said, dear Joe, I've been thinking about our breakup. I feel so bad about how I've hurt you. I know we had great hopes for the future. I've really been thinking about it. I think maybe I made a mistake. How about we get together for coffee and talk about where this might go? I'm so sorry for hurting you. Sincerely, Suzanne, or whatever her name was. And then she put, P.S. Congratulations on winning the Powerball lottery. Motives. Sometimes they're easy to see. Sometimes we're not even sure what our own motives are, right? So maybe it's a maturity thing. Maybe we need to grow up. And Pastor John and I were talking about this a long time ago, and we're talking about how do you know if your church, if your people are growing and maturing in the things of God. It was one of the most profound discussions I ever had, because I had my measures of what I thought really showed maturity in a person's life. And as we talked, this is the revelation that came out. John and I talked about this, and John said something like this, and we talked further. He said, when you begin to seek the God solution in every situation, you know you're growing up. Come on, amen, isn't that good? When you seek the God solution, doesn't matter what your friend said. Doesn't matter what somebody said. What does the Bible say about that, right? That's maturity. God, what do you want me to do with that situation? When you seek the God solution in every situation. And then last is this. Maybe you're not in the right position. Maybe you're not in the right position. Listen, when you read the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah was led to this brook called Cherith, where the ravens fed him, and he was able to quench his thirst by the water in the brook. But all of a sudden, the brook dried up, and the ravens quit bringing food. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, Elijah, you've got to get up from here. You've got to go to a place called Zarephath, because there is a widow woman there. Everybody say there. There's a widow woman there, and I've commanded her what to do. You got to get to your there. If he had stayed at the brook Cherith, where he had been sustained all those days, if he stayed there, he would have died of thirst and hunger. He had to get up and reposition himself to his there, or he would have never seen God move. He had to shift from the brook Cherith to Zarephath, or he would have never walked in what God had for him. Some of you got to get up and move into whatever your there is. And I'm not necessarily talking about a geographic location, although it could be. It could be a mindset. It could be an activity. It could be an involvement. It could be a lot of things, but you got to ask God, God, what is my there so I can reposition myself so that I can shift out of this season of my life and go to whatever season you have for me. My friend, God's got great things in store for you. He's a good God. He's not left you alone. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He's got amazing things in store for you and for the life of this church. You just got to make some shifts and get into the position that God has for you. Amen? Amen. God is so good. He is so good. He is so good. He's got great things in store for you. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you. For this church, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you've already done. And I thank you, Lord God, that you didn't bring us this far just to leave us. You didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. You didn't build your home in us to move away. You didn't lift us up to let us down, as the song says. Father God, I believe you've got amazing things in store for each of our lives. Father, there are people in this room that are going through very, very difficult seasons. And I pray, Lord God, that this message has touched something in their heart, touched something in their life, just one spark of revelation, one word from you, and our obedience to that word can move us into the next phase of our destiny. Father God, I pray, Father, just put your hand on your heart right now. Come on, put your hand on your heart and just say this. Just say, dear God, come on, everybody, just say it. Just say, dear God, I thank you that you have a plan for my life. You have seasons that you want me to walk in. There are things that I need to make a change in. I need to shift some things in my life to walk in what you have for me. Father, I see it. I'll do it. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just give them thanks for it. Come on. Pretend it's true. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for this, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just for another moment. If you're in the room today and you don't know, listen, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. That day is going to come in every one of our lives. Either that or Jesus is going to come back. And maybe there will be some dialogue, sounds like this. I'm not telling you this is how it is in the Bible. I'm just saying, just think about this. You're standing at the gates of heaven. He says, why should I let you in? Why do you think you deserve to come here? What would you say? Well, I've been real good. That's not good enough. Well, I gave money at the church. Not going to work. I attended church all the time. I was real faithful. I was an usher. I was this. I was that. If all it took was your works to get there, if all it took was you being good to get there, forgive me for being crude. I don't mean to be rude or crude, but if all it took was you being good to get there, then Jesus was a fool for coming and dying like he did. Think about it. I mean, they spit on him, they pulled his beard out, they whipped his body till the flesh was hanging off. I mean, what a fool. They nailed him to a cross. He died on that cross, he shed his blood. How foolish to do that if all you got to do is be good. It doesn't make sense. Listen, here's the reality. The reality is he came and paid a price for your sin that you could never pay by doing good. You could not pay the debt that you owed because of sin. That's the whole message of Jesus. You say, well, I'm going to get better and then I'll come to him. No, you can't. You can't get good enough to come to Jesus. He made it possible for you to come to him just as you are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, and I just happen to believe the Bible. It's one of the biggest words in the Bible. It starts with the word if, two letters, if. It presumes a decision that you have to make. If you will confess with your mouth, that means you can do it or not do it. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. Then verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth you make a confession unto your own salvation. Somebody says, well, it can't be that easy. I didn't write the book. I'm just the messenger telling you what it says. And all I know is in September of 1980, I did that. And my life's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you what, he changed my life. He made me into something that, I'll tell you what, only God could have done. And he's still got a long way to go. I got work to do. And he'll do the same thing for you. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, just for a moment. If you say, you know what, I need to do that. Maybe you say, I don't know if I ever did. Well, let's make sure today. I don't know if I ever did that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. We're all going to pray together right where you're at. And if you're not sure if you've ever prayed a prayer like that, ever made Jesus Lord of your life, then we're going to make it for certain right now. Maybe you're in that condition where you've kind of slidden back from your walk with God, you know, backslidden condition. You say, you know what, I'd really like to recommit my life to him. Well, that's good. This prayer's for you too. You can do that as we pray. Well, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want to know who you are. I want to know who you are. So when I count to three, if that's you and you say, I want to make Jesus Lord, I want to recommit my life, I'm not sure where I stand with God and I want to be sure, then I want you, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand and let me know who you are. Come on, are you ready? Don't do it just to do it. Do it because you mean it. It's not a game, folks. And I'll tell you, you're giving your life to him. It is an amazing commitment from somebody that made an amazing commitment to you. So if you're ready, come on, when I count to three, come on, throw your hand up. Ready? I'm going to look around the room one time. I want to see who you are. Ready? One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Come on, put them up. Let me see. Thank you back there. Anybody up in the, thank you, way up there. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm looking. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you over on this side. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Now, if you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. Mean it from your heart. Say it out loud with your mouth as we all pray together. Come on, congregation. Let's help them as they make this commitment to the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear God, I come to you today just as I am, and I give you my life. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You rose from the dead, and you live forever. Jesus, be Lord of my life. From this day forward, I'll do my very best to live for you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate that. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, God is a good God. Amen. Thank you so much. It was such an honor to be here with you today. I'll see you out by the fountain. Come on, you want to go for a swim? No, you can't do that. But I'll see you out at the fountain. I'd love to meet you, greet you, shake your hand. God bless you. Love y'all. And make sure you cheer for Pastor John when he comes back. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.